seems that in all stories of kings, princes, and kingdoms, there is some scene where the king takes the young prince to the edge of a cliff or a mountainside where they can see the entire kingdom. And the king says something like, "All of this one day will be yours." But inevitably, there is some part of the kingdom, some part of the view that is dark. There is a part of the kingdom that has been marred by some sort of corruption. And somehow the darkness of that part of the kingdom diminishes the beauty of what would have been a perfect view. There is a sense in which if we could just do something about that darkness, everything would be all right. We all want a peaceful world full of harmony and joy. But there are corruptions everywhere, it seems. There are those forces coming from outside, external things that corrupt a kingdom. Someone is making the world a bad place. And then there are internal forces as well, our own sin that says, "I want this kingdom to be mine and I'll do anything to make it that way." And then greed, envy, and hatred of others who succeed create darkness in your own little world. Whether coming from the outside or coming from the inside, the word for this pollution is sin. We've got it. Others have it too. And because of it, we see darkness, sometimes thick darkness in the midst of what would have been a glorious view. Now, I don't know which one of those things resonates with you. Are you one who needs to hear that situations that are beyond your control will one day be smoothed to where you will have peace? Or perhaps you are one who knows the turmoil of your own heart in need of salvation. And the message for both of you is the same this morning. Do not despair, for your light has come. Not only does light get rid of darkness, but it allows you to see things just as they should be, with all their shapes and all their colors and all their detail. C.S. Lewis once said, "I believe in Christ as I believe in the sun, not only because I can see it, but by it I see everything else." Jesus is the one true light. That's what we proclaim this morning. We proclaim that to you as a follower of Jesus Christ, to hear that this morning. Jesus is the one true light. And if you're not a follower of Jesus this morning, this I say to you, Jesus is the one true light. We have not enough light in ourselves to make anything bright. But we look for the one great hope of the world. And then also for those who do believe in him, you too are to be a light. Let's read this text now from Isaiah chapter 60. "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look about you. All assemble and come to you. Your sons come from afar, and your daughters are carried on the arm. Then you will look and be radiant. Your heart will throb and swell with joy. The wealth on the seas will be brought to you. To you the riches of the nations will come. Herds of camels will cover your land, young camels of Midian and Ephah. And all from Sheba will come, bearing gold and incense and proclaiming the praise of the Lord." So far the reading of God's word. Just before this passage in Isaiah, we read this: "And a redeemer will come to Zion, to those in Jacob who turn from their transgressions. And then this passage ends with a familiar allusion to the men from the east who will bring gifts to the baby Jesus. This passage here says, all from Sheba will come. Sheba is an area which is in what would have been considered the east at the time, most likely modern-day Yemen. The queen of Sheba, you might remember, came to seek wisdom from Solomon, and she brought him too, gold and spices. There's a similar prophecy, too, we see in Isaiah 9, perhaps the most famous of prophecies in Isaiah. And it says this, the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. And in that same text, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. The point is, in this passage in Isaiah 60, we're in the right place to learn something about the anointed one who is to come, the suffering servant who would redeem God's people. Not only do we know that this light will come to Jerusalem, but the places mentioned here give us a sense of the global reach of this light. The first thing that we should see is that the great hope of the world is coming. So lift up that head of yours, people. The great hope of the world is coming. For there was darkness, and now there is light. Twice in this passage, we hear a call to hope. Arise, for your light has come, we read in verse 1. Lift up your head and see. Now this word here in verse 2, these two words, there are two different words being used for darkness. The first is a more common word. It's often connected with death. And the second is really a combination of two words. One of a hovering cloud of gloom over a person or group. And then the darkest dark that you can imagine. That is the thick darkness that the passage is talking about. Basically, the situation is quite bleak, and that's putting it rather lightly. We have no room here to say that I'm glad Jesus has come, because though people are pretty good, we could use an extra jolt or something to put on calendars and greeting cards around the holiday season. You are right in thinking, you are right in knowing that our sin situation is one of utter darkness. In fact, the two metaphors are consistent. This use of darkness and then Paul's use of deadness as a description of our life in sin. Those are two things that give us a picture of just how grim things are when we're left to ourselves. But the call is not, because of this great darkness, despair, because there is no hope for you. Instead, the call is this: lift up your head, for your light has come. Children are much better at responding to this call than we adults are, and perhaps it's for lack of experience, but living in hopefulness tends to be their specialty. Sometimes we adults, we can become cynical. We can become hurt. Sometimes, understandably so. But children should remind us of hopefulness, of great joy, just in the way that they live their lives. Just the other morning, our little Nora had woken up very, very early. I got up with her, and I was tired and stressed and very cranky. And as I just sat on the couch and had a little cup of coffee, Zoe comes running out, and she immediately starts to paint a picture, green grass on the ground, and a big picture of sunshine. And she begins singing, "Oh, it's just such a sunny day." And I think, what optimism. But they do remind us well, and especially at this time of year, the great wonder of life, the great wonder of a dark world that can be redeemed with great hopefulness, that there is light, that our light has come, and that one day there will be no darkness at all. You know, if you're a follower of Christ, what it is to be redeemed. You know how Christ's light has penetrated your own life. Some of you know what it is to be released from great sin, to have been wrapped in darkness that you felt would never be lifted. We were all dead in sin, and yet Christ died for us anyway. Others of you need to know that your light has come, that the storm that is in you can be put away forever, and that darkness will be no more for those who trust in the Lord. We will all spend time together, those who trust in the Lord, and we will paint pictures of green grass and sing beautiful songs together. Because of this, God Himself, Emmanuel, God with us, has entered into that darkness with you. This is the only belief system in the world that has ever existed, where God enters into the darkness in order to lift you out of it. Now, kids, you know when you are afraid of the dark, you know just what to do, don't you? You cry out, and someone will come and reassure you. This is what God's word is doing for us here. If you are in darkness, cry out to Him. Too often we are like tough teenagers. You know how teenagers do it when it is 20 degrees? They say, "It is not cold. I will not wear a coat. I will wear the t-shirt that I was wearing when I got out of bed." They are often in denial about this very fact. And so we do the same. But what do we say? We say, "It is not dark. My world is not that dark. I have enough light just for me. I don't need someone else to come into my heart. I will shine because I'm good," we say, "because I'm helping, because I'm doing the best that I can." But if this passage tells us anything, it is that your heart is dark without the Lord Jesus. Your shining light into others' lives, you know, is when you feel the most human, most of who you were meant to be. And even the darkest of hearts knows what this is like. We know what it's like to be vulnerable with people who love us. We know what it's like to care in some ways for other people, to share your love with them. And what do you say? You say, "That's when I feel good, when I am shining light for others." Well, this passage gives us hope for you then too, who acknowledge that fact, because this passage tells us, if we look at verse 5, it says, "Look and be radiant." And what this means is something very true about the Christian, that not only does God's light shine upon you in His great mercy, does shine upon you and say, "You are forgiven," but God's light then shines through you. God's light is something that we receive and then carry out in our own lives. We think of passages like Matthew 5, where Jesus says, "You are the light of the world." And He's speaking of us, of Christians, to now go forward and carry that same light that shined upon us to other people. And that is a light that is absolutely life-changing when people see it, when they encounter it, and their hearts are opened by the Holy Spirit to know that it is truly because of Christ in your lives. It's like this. I'll finish with this short illustration. When you see a great painting, especially from the Reformation or the Renaissance time of painting. It was a time when a lot of painters used light as a great source in their paintings. One of the great masters, Rembrandt, was particularly great at using light to create a feeling in his paintings. And when you look at one of his paintings, when people see it, they might rightly say, "What is this painting of? I see maybe a ship, or I see a certain person." And they say, "What is this person, or what is this scene that's being depicted?" But that only moves you into a greater, much more important question, and that is, who is the painter? Who is the one who gives this great light? No one just stops and says, "I really like that milk and cookies painting." You say, who is this painter who crafted something so beautiful? And the same is true for you, Christian. People should look at us and they say, "I see this great light in you." And they might just think they're a nice person. But what they really will see is, who is this painter? Who is this great giver of light in your own life? It points them to Jesus. That is what we can do at Christmas time, is to be radiant, to be the light in what is sometimes a very, very dark world. We saw it this morning when our kids get up here and show us the story. This is magnificent light.